Hello, and welcome to the Story Partners podcast. We are your hosts, Walt and Annie Maness. We're so glad you're here.
We're a team of storytellers who seek to tell stories that point people to Jesus.
We have these friends, Haley and Aaron Negron, that live a block away from us. They're wonderful and the type of people that you naturally just always want to hang out with. They also have quite a story. Finding herself pregnant when she was 16, Haley walked through the shame and the challenges of having a baby while she herself was basically still a baby. Although this pregnancy was extremely surprising to Haley, she would find that God was not at all surprised or caught off guard. This episode's called The Expected Unexpected.
My name is Haley Negron. As a kid, I had a lot of anxiety, and I cared a lot about doing what was right, people liking me. If I was like maybe whispering with a friend or doing something and they were like, Haley, like gently, just very gently, Haley, I need you to get back on task. Tears would like well up in my eyes and my heart would start racing and I would feel so exposed and so wronged and bad that like I would just, it would eat at me the rest of the day. I was nice and sweet and, you know, compliant. So a lot of positive things were spoken over me from all kinds of people. I think I got a lot of feedback that I'm good. I was hungry for that kind of feedback and attention, and it was like fuel. As a child, I was taken to church by my grandparents. I would say that's probably where I was first introduced to religion, spirituality. I had like this shift. I'm saying yes to Jesus. I remember writing a letter home to my grandma, like, I got saved. And I remember, this is an interesting little detail, but I just remember writing S-A-V-E-D in different colored pencil colors and mailing that home to her. Like, I was excited and I knew that it meant something. I was a part of a small church that met in elementary school. So one day Aaron's family visited and not many teenage boys were rolling through at that time. And so he definitely stood out. It's funny because we went to two different schools. So really the only time we would see each other was at church or if there was some kind of social event. And we exchanged numbers. We would do the whole, I'm going to call you. We talk for hours at a time, fall asleep on the phone in the middle of the night, you know, that whole song and dance. And I think kind of like what sealed the deal in terms of like us knowing or me knowing that this was my boyfriend was he told me he knew Hawaiian. He said something in Hawaiian, and it wasn't really Hawaiian. It was made up, and who knows? Like, it could have been a song lyric for all I know. And I was like, what does that mean? And he said, it means I have a beautiful girlfriend. And I was like, oh, so this is my boyfriend now. And, you know, let's forget that I was lying and all. Like, didn't, you know, it doesn't matter. It worked. I think that we both just felt very safe around each other. We laugh and have fun and we just clicked and he was like my best friend. I felt just so loved and known, and I think that I craved that so deeply. We spent a lot of time together. We talked on the phone a lot. I think we just developed like a lot of just emotional intimacy and relational intimacy. Even being so new and young in a relationship, we would talk about the future. We would talk about getting married. We would dream about what our future would look like together.
Did you know that along with this podcast, Story Partners make short documentary films? We do. Come check us out on YouTube and subscribe to our channel to see the latest films as they release.
I wasn't allowed. Like, I wasn't allowed to have a boyfriend necessarily, or at least I was doing a lot of things, seeing him, hanging out with him, when I wasn't supposed to be. My dad, who I stayed with, who already had, you know, been very clear and stern about not seeing Aaron from a protective place. It was not personal. I think that he wanted to protect me. Nobody knew, because we were just very like secretive and calculated. When Aaron and I began to like progressively get like intimate, there was a lot of guilt and shame for both of us afterwards, always. And it was always like, okay, let's make a game plan, self-control, not put ourselves in this or that situation. And it was like no real self-control. Like, I mean, you know, it was, we would try, like, good intentions, but I do distinctly remember us both genuinely feeling like, dang it, like, God, I'm disappointing you. God, we did something wrong. This is not okay. This is wrong. There was just a lot of like shame surrounding that for both of us, and just a sense of failure. We kept so much in touch through letters, and I have all of those saved, and so many of them are, I'm praying for us, I'm praying for you, stay strong. You know, we failed in this way, I feel really bad about it. That just seems really unique for a teenage boy to just have that sort of care and sensitivity and even just vulnerability with the Lord. It was over spring break. I was 16 and a sophomore in high school. We went to a carnival that evening, and I don't remember the ride that I was on. It may have just been a Ferris wheel. But I remember feeling a little nauseous, and so I asked him if he would go buy like a pregnancy test like on our way home. And more just to kind of quell the fear of like, what if I was? I'm probably not. Let's just get a test to like put my anxiety at ease. So I remember going into the bathroom, doing the test, and the two lines showed up, and we saw it together, and I just started bawling. I just started immediately crying and felt a lot of panic and shock. I don't remember if he was upset in the same way, like if he was emotional, but I do remember being supported by him and just him hugging me and holding me and, you know, telling me it was going to be okay. And then the shock just kind of set in. My mind went to, I'm going to have a baby. I don't remember considering any other option. I don't even know that I necessarily thought the implications of being a mom, but just more, I'm going to have a baby. I'm going to grow a baby. What does that mean? What's that going to look like?
Have you ever wondered how we do this work and still pay the bills? Good question. Story Partners is a crowdfunded ministry that runs solely on donations from people like you. If you love what we're doing here and you want to help the work continue, consider joining the support team by making a donation through our website, storypartners.org.
Being naive kind of protects you from not even knowing what to worry about or what to think about. And so I think my main concerns were more how my body was going to change, what clothes would I wear, would I have any friends? Like, I don't think I even knew how to process like what was going to happen next. So yeah, having to break it to my dad, because it's such a scary thing to hear that your daughter is pregnant, the reaction matched just some of that fear and disappointment and frustration. He did everything he knew how and felt was right to try to protect me. and yet still, in some hard ways, really had the rug pulled out from under him and was probably really hurt. He was just saying a lot of things, just really upset. I think out of just a reaction in the moment, in the heat of the moment, said, "You're going to have an abortion." In that moment, my stepmom, his wife, she blurted out, "No." She was a teen mom as well. She had her daughter when she was 17. I don't know if I caught it in that moment or just shortly after that incident. I saw God's like advocacy for me through her and her experience that was also hard. I felt like her voice in that moment was like, "I have your back. Like, I'm not gonna let that happen." That was probably one of the first moments where I saw God's hand and favor in the situation. When I first was talking to Aaron's parents after Aaron told them that we were pregnant, they had me come over. I just remember just feeling some of that shame and like disappointment and like, this is your son. And now what about his future and like y'all's plans for him? And, you know, just internally feeling all of these things. My father-in-law said, "God knew this was going to happen." That simple truth that I didn't catch God off guard, he knew this was going to happen, just freed me in a matter of seconds of like, okay, like God's in this actually. He knew this was going to happen. So I haven't surprised him. And it was like a weight, like a boulder had been completely taken off of my shoulders. I exhaled. I took like a deep spiritual exhale. And it was like the encouragement that I needed to say, okay, let's do this. We're going to move forward. The first hurdle was letting my family know and kind of dealing with the reactions. And then from there, it was like, okay, well, as a teenager, what's like the next most important thing to you or one of the most important things to you? School, social life. Well, I'm not going back to school. I'm not going to show my face there. I found out I was pregnant spring break of my sophomore year. My goal over the summer was to figure out how I don't go back to school. Like, surely there's just I can be homeschooled. When I was made aware that that was not the case and that I would be going back to school come August, I think I just had a lot of anxiety around that and just felt really isolated and alone. Was like, my world's different now. So when I went back to school in August, I had a very visible bump, and maternity clothes have a way of accentuating that as well. I just remember walking down the hallways, like looking down. I didn't want to make eye contact, and because every time I did, I knew that they weren't looking at my face. They were looking at the fact that Haley's pregnant. No one saw it coming. It was not expected. It was shocking. And as humans, we like juicy, shocking things, you know? Some of the harder like thoughts that I would have that would kind of keep me feeling like shrunk and shriveled is just, you're bad. Like, you made a mistake and there's no hiding it. Some of our failures or weaknesses or hangups are not as visible. They may be more internal or hidden or isolated, but you can't hide a pregnancy. And so I think some of the shame that I was walking around feeling is no matter where I went, what I felt like other people were thinking was, I know what you did. I know what was going on. That there's only been one immaculate conception that I know of. And so I think that is part of what fueled a lot of my shame. I don't really remember involving God too much in the process. That was probably because I was feeling a lot of shame. I felt like I was disappointing God. And I don't even know that was a conscious thought, but I think that it showed because I wasn't connecting with him. I was hiding. I did not want to miss school. I like never had absences. I didn't want to get behind. So I think I went to school even the same day that I was being induced. Because I was over a week past due, and I just did not want to miss school. Noelle was born in November, which put us into Thanksgiving break. I came back to school in January, not pregnant, and I had a face again. and people saw me differently. Some of that awkwardness of passing people in the hallways was gone, and I felt a little more normal and a little less shame. I would say that for Aaron and I, it was a given, like, we're going to be together forever. That was like the tone from the very beginning. And so now we're just kind of doing it out of order. We're having a baby before we're married, but we're still going to be together forever. Aaron had done some college and I was a senior in high school. We knew we were going to get married. And at one point we were starting to plan a wedding. And I'd always dreamed of having a wedding. And the idea of Aaron joining the military came up. And so we decided to join the Air Force. So we were like, well, why don't we just get married at the Justice of the Peace? So we have an official certificate, and then you enlist, and then that will start providing us with medical benefits. I was 17, so my dad had to sign permission. Our family was there. Noelle was there. We never circled back around to having an actual wedding. Like, life just kind of took off. And then it was like, yeah, I went back to school. Now I was married. I moved in with Aaron's parents. I was completely taken care of. They bought everything that Noelle needed. They gave me lunch money. They let me use their car. I learned how to drive, finished learning how to drive while I was living with them. I was completely supported, and God was carrying me. I think even being gifted these circumstances of being cared for and held can even just cause me to put pressure on myself. I got to make the most of it. If God is teed me up in all these really kind and loving ways, I cannot blow it. I better be good and be a good mom, wife, Christian, friend, employee, because I have no excuse not to, because this is why he did it, right? Because he has big expectations of me to continue to excel and do well and not disappoint anyone. And I have no excuse. So from there, Aaron joins the military. We're married. He goes off to basic training. He comes back. I've graduated high school at this point. And then he is sent to Mississippi to train for the job that he was going to have. And it was a long training. So we moved with him. I was 18. Noelle was a year and a half. Aaron was 19. And for the first time, we were living on our own in another state, figuring it out. I hated living there. I was like, this is like going backwards in time. There's no Target. There's no Super Walmart. The highway is 40 miles an hour. Where's the rest of this town? I didn't know how to buy groceries. I bought Oreos and Pringles. I bought everything a teenager would want to buy if you were getting a check and told go buy groceries. So, you mean I can pick whatever I want? We were kind of forced to figure out how to be adults and be a family with no other influence, family influence, which I think was a good thing. I think we needed that. We found our stride and our rhythm, and I think that really bonded us as a family and as husband and wife. Aaron was constant and loyal and loved me. After Noelle was born, still feeling like I didn't want anyone to know how old I was because I didn't want them to do the math. I liked that people thought I was older or assumed just because we were married and had a family. And so anytime that question would come up or people would put graduation years together and start calculating and figure out you're only 19 and or 20, wait a minute. I still felt embarrassed about that because I felt like it implied you were bad, you were doing something bad. You don't have good judgment.
Do you have a great story? We're always looking for compelling stories of how God has changed people's lives. If you have a story like this, or if you know of one, let us know. The best way is to reach out by submitting a story on our website at storypartners.org.
the first probably 10 years of our marriage, we knew how to do church and we knew how to be religious, but I wouldn't necessarily say that we were super spiritual or didn't know much about the gospel and like what we were actually being freed from and why that was important. And yet, even in all of that, like you still see God's hand and his faithfulness. Like we were not faithful to him, but his faithfulness does not change. It is pure and perfect and ongoing, and you can't disrupt it, even though ours is fickle. Looking back and thinking about God's kindness and faithfulness, I was carried. I don't know that I necessarily saw it at the time. It's pretty surreal to think about that. It's not an exchange with God. It's not transactional. He carried me even though I wasn't necessarily pursuing him spiritually, or I didn't necessarily feel super close to God in that time. But it didn't mean that he was going to withdraw his love from me, even though I was maybe withdrawing from him because of some of the shame and disappointment I assumed was being projected onto me from him. It's easy to overlook that there's really nothing that I can do that is going to change God's like love and heart for me. His love for me is not based on my performance or if I'm making him happy or if I'm being good or perfect or nailing it. And so even looking back at that time, like he was for sure carrying me. Looking at our own kids and when they fail or mess up or, you know, stumble in whatever kind of way, would I want them to be sitting with like, my parents are so upset at me and like, how could they love me? How could they ever like look at me again or be pleased with me? I would hate for my kids to feel that way. You know, in the course of 20 years of family and marriage, I mean, it's been bumpy. It's been, you know, up and down. It's pretty typical for people in life and being in relationship with someone for so long. I think that my biggest fear is always like that my family would be broken up in some way, or that my marriage would end. This job opportunity presented itself, and I'd had the same job for a long time, a lot of consistency and comfort and so forth. The potential of taking this new job would mean change and disruption and what if, what if, what if. And Aaron was just so supportive and encouraging of me to just pursue it, just see what happens. And so I felt like encouraged and empowered. And that is where like Aaron's confidence and optimism like really helps me to be brave. And so I decided to go ahead and do it. Like application sent. Okay. One morning, I just like woke up with like panic. What have I done? Like, what if? Like, what if this is the thing that finally does it? In nanoseconds, created 15 scenarios of how this was going to end in divorce. It was just spiraling thoughts, and I felt like this weight on my chest, and I felt like the walls were closing in. In God's like kindness, like he like cut through and he said, look over there at the wall. And on the wall is like that picture of us at the JP holding each other's hands in my Old Navy dress and his borrowed tie. Before that, there's a picture of me and him at his prom, and I'm, you know, 3 months pregnant. And then there's another picture at my prom where Noelle's like, you know, 18 months or so. And then there's these pictures of our wedding. And then there's another picture of Aaron and Noelle like serving in Mexico. And the last picture is like this picture of our family of five. And it's like, I feel like he was saying like, have I not been faithful and good? I have preserved your family from the moment like I knitted Noelle together in your womb. I did that. I've been faithful to you. Like, trust me. Will I not continue to do it? Like, don't worry. And it was just so kind of him. And I just felt so much more peace. Stories are important, and our stories are important for this reason, because we get to look back and see like, where was God? And so many times in the Bible, are we called to remember what I called you out of, remember that I split the sea. Remember that I carried you through the desert. Remember that I provided food for you. Remember that I promised like what is to come. And I want to grow in remembering God's faithfulness in the past so that it fuels my hope for the future. Instead of like worrying about like the future and the things that hadn't even happened yet that did not deserve my anxiety and stress, I get to share with other people who also need to be reminded when they forget God's faithfulness, or maybe they were never even made aware that there is a faithful God. Nobody can take my story away and tell me it didn't happen and didn't happen in the ways that it did for the reasons that it did. I have lived it. I have experienced it. I am a witness to God's kindness and his goodness. And I can't control necessarily how that's received, but I don't want to keep it to myself and risk someone else not being freed or healed from having been shown that there is a faithful and kind God who wants to also free them and give them a hope and a future.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode. We hope that it encourages you this week.
If you enjoyed it, we'd really appreciate it if you'd follow this podcast, as well as rate and review the episode for us. This helps a lot with new people finding us.
We also wanted to give a big thanks to Elijah Delgado for providing our show music.
Elijah is a local artist here in Austin and also our friend. So be sure to check out his work wherever you stream your music.
Did you know that we also produce short films? Subscribe to our YouTube channel to follow those. Thank you for listening to this episode. We hope to see you on the next one. Until then. Until then.